What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner and certified personal trainer, and I also work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, so we are all things fitness over here. Today, we're going to talk about social anxiety and kind of my history and experience with social anxiety and how I've been able to combat that and where I'm at now and how I feel confident in social situations, because I definitely am somebody who is extroverted and likes to be with people, but I also am introverted in a way, and I'll explain that later. But first, obviously, we're going to do our life update. This past week was honestly a really good week. The past 2 weeks after the marathon, I have seen so many friends, which has been amazing. I've been going for coffee walks, dinner dates, dessert dates, like just going and doing easy runs, going to F45 with people, which has been really nice. I feel like in the past 2 weeks, I've had something before and or after work every single day with a friend, which is amazing because I had to say no to a lot of those things previously when I was training. And obviously that's, you know, you have to prioritize what's important to you in the specific time of your life that I'm in, but everything moves in seasons. And that's also what gives me some solace when I have to say no to a lot of plans when I am in marathon training season. And it honestly doesn't even really feel like a sacrifice to me because I'm so dedicated to my goal, like whatever my running goal is. It doesn't really feel like a sacrifice to say, oh no, sorry, like I can't hang out truly because I am just going after something that I really want. So I don't really struggle with FOMO at all, honestly. I think it's probably because I'm a little bit older. Like I'm 26 years old. And so definitely when I was 22 years old, and if I had been missing out on my friends going out, I would have totally like not been happy. But I just feel like I'm very secure now in where I'm at, what I want for my life, and like how I live my life, which is a really nice place to be. It definitely feels good. The older I've gotten, the better I've just felt and the more aligned I felt in living the life that I want to live for me, which is amazing. But you guys know, I talked about it last week, F45, my newest obsession. I've now gone 5 times, I believe, and it's just so good. I am in love with F45. The good thing is, I was talking to Brett about this morning, but the good thing is it's not too heavy of lifting. Like even if you go on the lifting days, which are Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, it's really not too heavy of lifting because at the end of the day, it's still very much like a HIIT/circuit-based class. And so you are definitely lifting a decent amount on the strength days, but you're not going to be walking away from that class like not being able to walk. It's definitely different than lifting for hypertrophy. Like when you lift for hypertrophy, you are lifting the heaviest weight possible to like maximize muscle gains, and you are going to be so sore because you're ripping your muscles apart. Whereas F45 is like, I think it's a good medium for me, at least. I really like it. I don't resonate as much with classes that are super lightweights, like Pilates classes. I will take them from time to time. I think they're relaxing. I think they're fun. I think it's always good to switch it up. And to be honest, any form of fitness and moving my body, I enjoy, but I just more so align with the type of class that F45 is. And I think maybe that's why I think I hadn't loved traditional strength training, because it is just like super heavy lifting. And that doesn't really make me feel good. And I also don't like the way that it makes me look. Like I definitely put on muscle quickly, which is such a blessing. Like that is crazy. I also do eat a lot of food and a lot of protein, so it's not an accident that I can put on muscle quickly, but I do believe it's partially genetic, which, you know, just is what it is. So for me, lifting heavy, like I will see it right away, and I will honestly just start to kind of feel like not like myself. I'll feel weird in my body. Whereas F45, because it's like a decent amount of, as I said, like HIIT/circuit training combined with the strength training, you really walk away just feeling like super lean and ripped, which is a really good feeling. Like you just feel so powerful, just light and lean and ripped and strong. And I love that. So I will continue going. I'll continue posting my little season of strength series on TikTok and Instagram. I love that. It's also holding me accountable to make sure that I'm going, even though at this point, I'm just excited to go. At the beginning, I had to be held accountable by posting, but now I just am like, I want to go every single day, and I have to tell myself, no, you need to take a break, you know, maybe run, maybe rest, but I just love it so much. So that's kind of the life update there. Brett and I did a date night on Friday night for the first time in, I think, a month, which we try to do date night every single Friday night. I think it's really important because the weeks are super, super busy. And so we went through a period of time when we first started dating where we would go out on Friday night. Like, we would go out. Like, we'd get back. We were working in banking at the time. That's where we met, in investment banking. So we were working a lot of hours. We would get back on Friday night at, like, 8 p.m. We wouldn't eat dinner. We would take a bunch of shots. We would go out. And every single time, without fail, Brett and I would get mad at each other for something that we couldn't even remember the next day. And we kind of had to have a reckoning with ourselves. Like, after this had happened, like, for multiple months, we sat down. We were like, we can't keep doing this anymore. So we ended up switching to going out Saturday night. Like, we didn't stop going out. We were 22 years old, and that was fun to us at the time. But, like, when I say out, I mean, like, out to bars and, you know, like, the scene. And yeah, that we wanted to do that, but we decided we're not going to do it on Friday night. We were going to have date night Friday night, because it also was just important to talk and, like, reconnect from the week, since we didn't live together at that time. Now we do live together. We've lived together for over 3 years, I think, or no, maybe 2.5 years. It'll be 3 years by the time we get married. It kind of feels longer than that. By the time we get married, we'll have been dating for 5 years, which is so insane. Like, it's been 4.5 at this point. But it just, it genuinely does not feel that way at all. Like, it just, it, I don't know, it just feels very easy and very seamless. And I definitely want to talk more about my relationship. And I, as I said, I want to have Brett on, and I want to talk about our decision to get engaged and, like, how we came to that decision and, like, what we talked about before Brett proposed and stuff like that. I think it'll be really, really fun to talk about. Because I think in movies they paint it like, oh my gosh, I was so surprised that I got engaged. And honestly, I think that's kind of concerning. Like, I don't think that's real life. I think that's probably just movies. I'm sure it's happened to some people in real life, but to be, like, shocked that you got engaged means you really weren't on the same page of your relationship. So we definitely talked about a lot of things, and kids and future and home and stuff like that. And so I definitely want to share more about that. But yeah, we had our date night on Friday for the first time in weeks. It was amazing. We went to a restaurant in the Upper East Side called Sfoglia. Sfoglia. It's an Italian restaurant, obviously. You can tell by the name. It's on 92nd Street. But Brett and I were like, we know one of these letters you don't pronounce, because in every European word, there is at least one letter that doesn't get pronounced, but we didn't know which one it was. So we were like, is it Foglia? Is it Sfoglia? Like, we didn't know what we were doing. So I ended up asking the waitress, and it was Sfoglia. The G is silent. It was amazing. It was very rustic. Like, you were sitting at these, like, wooden farm tables. The service was impeccable. Brett and I were the youngest people there by probably 4 decades, which was a total vibe. Like, we were just hanging out in, like, the old Italian countryside in Tuscany. That's what it felt like. And it was so amazing. We got so much food. We got bread and olive oil. Oh, so good. I love when they give you the big salt too, so you can, like, dip the bread and the olive oil in the salt, maybe a little balsamic if you're feeling crazy. But this was chunky bread. And then we got a whole cheese platter. It was like cheese and jam and candied walnuts. And then we got the kale and apple salad, or kale and pear, I think, salad with apple cider vinaigrette. Yeah, that's what it was. And it was so delicious. They actually ended up giving us two, because they were like, we didn't put the proper dressing on the first one, so we'll give you another one. And Brett and I are the best eaters I know. Like, we gobbled both of those up, no problem. Truly, we are the best eaters I know. Like, when people go on double dates with us, they are shocked. Sometimes we have to stop eating because we're like, this is crazy. And then we'll end up having to order food after, because we just both eat so much food. But it's because we're both active. We both have a lot of muscle mass. And the more muscle mass you have, the more calories you burn while you're resting. So we just both need a lot of food and love food. So I am not complaining. And then we both got pasta. Brett got ragu, and I got this more of like a cheesy dish with like chives and mushrooms. It was impeccable. And then we ended with this huge apple tart that you actually had to order it at the beginning, because they made everything from scratch. Like, I swear they were back there like kneading that dough from scratch, that pastry dough. It was insane. It was insane. I have such a problem when it comes to sugar. Like, sugar is totally my vice. It's not alcohol. It's not anything else. It's sugar. I don't have any self-control when it comes to sugar. Like, honestly, put a bag of chips in front of me and I could potentially eat a lot of them, but I wouldn't have that hard of a time just being like, oh, like, I'm kind of done. Like, I'm done with the chips. I'm done, you know. But like, if you put a batch of brownies in front of me, we're going to have a problem. And it's not even like I really care about the calories. Again, I'm super active, and especially during marathon training, I was like, calories are great, but it's just the sugar rips my stomach apart. Like, it's just way too much sugar for me to ingest at one time, and it totally rips my stomach apart. I've been having this problem. I've been going to this bakery in New York called Posh Pop. You've probably seen me post about it a million times. It is impeccable. Impeccable. It is so good. But I'll get like 3 to 4 different things. And each of these desserts weighs 5 pounds. Like, if you guys could actually see the scale of these things and feel the girth of these desserts, these brownies are actually 5 pounds. Like, I wish I had a food scale so I could take it home and weigh it to show you guys, but they're so good. Highly recommend Posh Pop, and everything is gluten-free. I'm not 100% gluten-free, but like at the restaurant, I ate the bread, but I got gluten-free pasta. It just upsets my stomach, and it's also not really good. I have thyroid issues, and so it's not great for my thyroid, so I avoid it 95% of the time. But, you know, I can't turn away a good time. Like, I am no one to turn away a good time. I cannot turn away a dessert. I cannot turn away a pasta. I cannot turn away a glass of Prosecco. I had several glasses of Prosecco on Friday, and then we had some port wine to end it off, and it was so good. But man, was I not in a good place the next day. I was not. Alcohol really, really gets to me. I actually want to talk about that in another episode, because I feel like I just have such an interesting relationship with alcohol. Like, it's not a bad relationship, but it's not like the best relationship. So I feel like I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, and I definitely want to talk about that. Maybe I'll do that in the next couple weeks. But anyway, I've chit-chatted for enough time. It's because Brett isn't home right now, and so I'm just talking to myself. But let's get into the meat of the episode, which is talking about social anxiety. And social anxiety is actually something I've struggled with for a long time, but I think because I am very outspoken and extroverted, I never considered the fact that I could have social anxiety. I just thought like, oh, maybe I'm just kind of weird. Because growing up, I always, and still to this day, I definitely am a little odd. Like, I'm definitely not totally normal. And I don't even really know how to explain it, but I guess because you guys are following me, you probably can tell like a little bit of like I'm a little off my rocker. But in it, I love it. I think it's a good thing, but I've always been like very smart, a little nerdy, like a little weird, which is totally fine. I think that's actually such a superpower. I also think intelligence is like awesome, but I feel like when you're younger, you just want to be cool. Like, you don't want to be smart. You want to be cool. I wasn't necessarily cool. So even from a young age, I would always try to, but I played sports and all the sports girls were cool. So I'd always try to fit in with like the sports girls and lacrosse players. And I was friends with everyone. Like, I just was a very happy person. I was friends with everyone, but I was never like fully in the popular group, if that makes sense. And then going into college, everyone was rushing sororities their second semester, and I rushed and never felt like that aligned with any of the houses. Like, I didn't even really feel aligned with the sorority process. Like, I thought the whole thing was kind of a little bit weird and like a little bit culty and like, I don't know, just like such an exclusive club. And like, I've just never loved stuff like that. I'm somebody who even like asked my friends from the time I was in high school, was always planning to get like all my different friend groups together. Whereas other people would kind of stay and just go to parties with their friend group, I was like organizing and hosting all my different friend groups to come together because I thought it was way more fun, which like, I'm still like that. I just want everyone to have a good time. I think it's like, why not be inclusive? You know what I mean? But for some reason, it was cool when you were younger to be exclusive. And I feel like some people still think it's cool. And I'm just like, why? Like, why though? Does that make you feel good? I just don't really know. But anyway, and so I didn't end up liking any of the houses that I got at the end, and I was super discouraged. So I never ended up joining a sorority, and I was very discouraged. And then I even thought, okay, maybe I'll rush again my sophomore year, and it just never worked out in my favor. And I always thought, oh, something is wrong with me. Meanwhile, I was friends with like a lot of the girls in a lot of different sorority houses, but I just felt like I never belonged in just one specific group. And I've always kind of been that way. I've been like a little bit of a floater. Even now, my friends that I have are like really good friends, but I have a small limited quantity of very good friends, and they're all from very different places in my life. But I love them all so much, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I feel like I've grown into really loving that part of myself. But I think because I had a little bit of this insecurity, like, oh my gosh, I don't really fit into any group, I started to develop a little bit of social anxiety of like, and it's not so much when I'm meeting people one-on-one, it's more so when I'm meeting a group of people, specifically and especially a group of people that already know each other. That is very nerve-wracking to me, because I'm used to being somebody who, again, I am outspoken, I am charismatic, I do like to contribute to the conversation. But when I feel like, oh my gosh, everyone already knows everyone else, but I'm the odd one out, why would they want to talk to me? Why would they even care about me? I'll just kind of start going through my head and it'll just like go down this downward spiral. And it's really been something that I've had to work on. And I think honestly, this might be shocking for people to hear from me because it probably seems like I am so, it's just so easy for me and I'm so outgoing. And I am, and that's true, but it's been something that I've really, really worked on. Like anything that you see, anyone that you see who's good at something, they've worked on it. Like, yes, some people do have some things innately in them, but I would say that is the vast minority of things that people are good at. Most things that people are good at, it's because it's meaningful to them and they worked at it. And like that was this, you know, the social thing has been something over the past year that has been really meaningful to me. And it kind of really started out like me joining run clubs, like in the city. I didn't really make any new friends from the time I got to the city. Like I started dating Brett and that was kind of it. And then I feel like COVID kind of threw it all off, but I didn't really make any new friends for myself outside of work. Like outside of just like work acquaintances / work friends until last year, like about a year ago when I started really getting involved in run clubs. But I would ruminate on, oh, what it would be like to go to a run club and how much fun it would be, but I would talk myself out of it. I talked myself out of it truly for about 8 months until I finally sucked it up to go. I would think of every excuse under the sun, like, oh, they don't meet at the right times. Oh, they don't meet in the right location. Oh, it's just like not going to work with my schedule this week. Oh, like, I don't really like running with people. Just all of these things for months and months and months that I convinced myself. But it was really just because I was scared to go and put myself out there and meet people who potentially I might not vibe with. Because the thing is, whenever you meet new people, there's a chance you just might not vibe with them. And that's not your fault or their fault. It's just like not everyone is super compatible, which is totally, totally fine. But I think I'm just scared of people not liking me because I'm somebody who like genuinely from the bottom of my heart just wants everyone to be happy, everyone to come together, everyone to have a good time. And I feel like when people misjudge me or, you know, don't see me in that way, it just makes me really sad. And so I don't like when people don't like me. And that's a personal problem, but I know a lot of people experience that and kind of like people pleasing tendencies. But yeah, it sort of all snowballed into this social anxiety. And it wasn't even really meeting guys. Like I was very good at talking to guys, like even ask Brett, I was the one who made the first move. And I had no problem with that, but it was meeting other girls because I felt this sense of competition and I felt like nervous and I felt like I had to be perfect around them. And I felt like I had to be perfectly dressed and perfectly skinny and my face had to be flawless. And like, I had to be successful and somehow felt like I needed to be better than them instead of just trying to be friends with them. Like, and again, that's not really something that like I wanted. I felt like it's kind of just something that happened to me over time because the nature of females is competitive, which is sad. Thankfully I've gotten to a place where all of the friendships in my life are so supportive. And I will say running friendships are the most supportive friendships you could possibly have because you're all just working together, working really hard to achieve a common goal. And people run for different reasons, but you're all running for the love of the game. Like you're all putting your heart and soul into it. And it's such a beautiful thing. And yeah, honestly, the running community just freaking rocks. And I'm so glad that I'm such a big part of it. And I will continue to be a part of it for the rest of my life because it's just the best. But some things that I've really done to get kind of over that hump are, because I think what I've started noticing about myself is recently, like really within the past few weeks, I've been like, whoa, it's way easier for me to introduce myself to new people in a workout class. Whoa, it's way easier for me to just talk to this new girl at run club. And I'm really putting myself out there. Like, whoa, it's way easier for me to actually follow through on plans I'm making with people that I haven't seen in a while. Because even with people that I already know, like if I hadn't seen them since high school, let's say, which is like 8 years ago, I would be so nervous to see them. I would, you know, say, oh yeah, sure, let's make a plan. But I would never follow through. And then the same thing would happen next year. But recently, I've just really been seeing myself. I'm like, wow, I'm following through on all these plans. And I'm actually really excited about all these plans. And I think for me, it's really just been like throwing myself into situations instead of like sitting there and ruminating on all of the things that could go wrong or like all of the reasons I shouldn't go or, oh, it would make me late to this and then I would have to miss that. It's like, just go. And there's really no better advice than to just go. And it's honestly the same thing with running. It's like, just start. You know what I mean? Like, nobody is coming to save you. And I think, honestly, the more confident that I've gotten in myself through running, like, running transcends every other area of my life. It's kind of just the first step for me, the first tangible step to show myself you can do hard things. You can do what you set your mind to. You can do things that are uncomfortable. You can learn and grow and do things that you couldn't do last month because you practice it and you showed up for yourself every day. And it's no different with relationships, like romantic relationships or friendships or family relationships or, you know, growing my social media or, you know, getting faster at running or just anything. Like, again, getting faster at or getting better at strength training and getting stronger. And I went to F45. I thought about going to F45 for months. And then eventually last week, I just said, I'm ripping the Band-Aid off. I told my friend I'm going. And she's like, you should totally go, but it's a partner workout tomorrow. And I was like, I don't care if they make us wear SpongeBob outfits to the workout. Like, I am going to the workout. I'm not making excuses for myself. And by the way, I met so many cool people. It was so fun. I stayed for 15 to 20 minutes afterwards, talked to the instructor. I was like plugging Fast and Flow because there were a couple people at the end that were wanting to get into marathon running and signing up for 24 and 25 races. And I just feel like, and then the more you do that, you just kind of get on this roll and you get on this high and you just keep on building confidence and trusting yourself. And it's really the same thing. It's like, okay, if I said I was going to go to this plan with my friend, I'm going to follow through and go to that plan. And that might seem dumb. It might seem like, well, how would that build confidence in myself? But it does. It does build confidence because you're just following through on anything that you say you're going to do builds confidence. So that's why for me, following through on this strength training journey, like muscle gain, fat loss, like wanting to get in, like ripped into the best physical, you know, shape of my life. That's something that's really cool to me. Like, endurance running is something that I've pursued for a long time and something that I will continue to pursue. But I've always been like, wow, I want to just get really strong. Like, I want to get ripped. But I was always, oh, that's for the gym girls. You know, like, that's just not my thing. But why? But why? If I just follow the plan and I strength train multiple times a week, you know, I pick up heavy weights, I eat a lot of protein, I concentrate on my nutrition, why can't I also be ripped? Like, there's nothing that's stopping me. You know what I mean? And it's not even really totally about the physical outcome. Like, that's great. And that's kind of a byproduct of it. Like, running marathons faster and faster is great for me, but it's like, I'm never going to be an elite runner. Like, but the thing is, it's just me getting better than I was the day before, keeping the promises that I make to myself and proving to myself that I can do anything I set my mind to. Same thing with social media. You have to start from zero followers, but you have to act like you have a lot of followers, which is kind of cringy. Like, you're kind of talking to your phone, you're making these videos like you have a lot of followers, but you have like 500 followers. And, you know, I'm sure there are people rolling their eyes, but you have to just act like you already know what you're doing. And that's scary, but yeah. I don't know. This whole episode, my episodes, you know, they just end up going this way, that way, around town and back again. But that's just how my mind works. You guys are kind of just getting like an inside peek to my mind. But my point of this whole thing is, if you're somebody who gets nervous in social settings or just nervous to try anything new or do anything, just do it. And like, just let me be the inspiration. And just know the people that you're seeing out there that it seems so easy for them, and it's not. I promise you, it's not. Like, they are working really, really hard for the things that are meaningful to them. And if something's meaningful to you, you'll do it. And for me, it was branching out. It was making new friends at Run Club. It was trying F45. It was, you know, I shamelessly talk about my social media. I used to think, oh, that's cringy, don't talk about that. No, I'm talking about it because I provide really good inspiration and motivation and value to people. And I put my heart and soul into it. And so why wouldn't I plug my social everywhere I go? Like, it's not annoying. It's just believing in yourself, you know? So anyway, I hope this episode was like somewhat helpful in some way, or at least entertaining. But next week is Thanksgiving. Super excited. I'm going home to see my family on Long Island. We'll be there from Wednesday through Sunday. So I think that'll be hopefully really relaxing. I definitely have been like going, which sounds crazy because it's like, oh, the marathon's done. But for me, on to the next thing. Like, I've been grinding on social media, grinding on wedding planning, grinding on strength training. Been trying to spend a lot of time with Lucy. I've seen like 10 different unique friends in the past 2 weeks, which I haven't done in years. And I just feel really good about it, and it's making me really, really happy. And honestly, social media is definitely becoming a part-time job. Like, I definitely work on it 20 hours a week minimum, and it's so fun. But I think I kind of have recognized to myself now, this is a proper job at this point, which is amazing. And I'm really, really starting to see traction and get to the point I want to get to and keep on growing, keep on spreading positivity. And yeah, just
I just really want people to be proud of themselves. So I just want them to do hard things and be really, really happy. So hopefully that comes across on my social media. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. The pod fam is the real ones because are the real ones. Sometimes I don't know what my next word is going to be, so I don't use the right word in the middle. But the pod fam are the real ones because no one else is listening to me for like 20, 30, 40 minutes straight, and you guys are. And don't worry, coming soon in the spring, there's going to be some YouTubes that are going to be coming out. I'm going to start with like a whole wedding planning process, but then that's going to transition into marathon training for Chicago next year. And YouTube is my favorite social media by far. So just stay tuned because, guys, there's a lot of really good things coming down the pipeline, and I have no shortage of energy, if you couldn't tell. So anyway, I love you guys so much. I hope you have a great week, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye.